tonight. Dry and dusty land, God is your oasis. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around, greet somebody in the name of the Lord? Tell him you're glad to see him in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Brethren, play some more of that, if you will. Play it. Turn the thing, yeah? What a privilege it is to be in the house of the Lord. What an opportunity He has given us to come and worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm glad for it, aren't you? Amen. Somebody said, well, why do you want to go to church so much? Where else would you want to go? Where else would you get a better thrill than going to the house of God? This is where life is. This is where we come to celebrate our life. This is where we come to worship together with one another. To give Him praise and honor and glory in the house of the Lord. Give Him one more hand clap if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at her prayer request. I want to pray for Sister Sharon Ward. Brother Rocky called just a while ago, and she is just really, really suffering with back pain. And they're asking that we would just pray for her. I believe she's scheduled for maybe some surgery this week, and everything's just kind of up in the air right now because her back is bothering her so bad. So let's just pray that the Lord would give her healing in her body tonight. I want to pray for Brother Baker, who is having bladder problems. Also want to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who has been sick all day. Also want to pray for Brother Jonathan Baker, who has suffered a wrist injury. So let's remember those folks tonight as we pray. Sister Lucille Atkins, bad case of bronchitis. They're asking that we would remember her in prayer tonight. Brother Philip Horniak says, 6 years ago, I had a quadruple bypass surgery. He's to have a stress test done this Wednesday, which he's really seeking to pass that thing in flying colors. We believe God's able to help her, brother, don't we? Also, he has a prayer request for a friend from work who is now a soldier in Seoul, Korea. Pray for his uncle or either his Papaw, his name is Tommy. So they're asking that we would just remember those folks tonight as we pray. We'll just commit them unto the Lord. Want to please pray for Sister Linda Lawrence. She's sick, unable to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Want to pray for Brother Scotty Babb. Has a virus, congestion, and a cough. So let's pray for Brother Scotty. Pray for Barbara Grubb. She had a kidney removed due to cancer and has other problems in her body. So let's ask the Lord to be mindful of her tonight. Sister Jane Terrell was able to go home today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for that. Brother Gene wants to thank everyone for your prayers and continue to pray for a complete recovery. So we just pray for that lovely couple, that the Lord would just be mindful of them tonight. I want to continue to pray for my mom, who is in very much pain, very sick from the shingles. The doctor said that she had a very bad case. I believe that's Brother Ron Daly's mother that they're talking about there. So let's remember that need tonight. Sister Janet Payne sends this in. Pray for the family of Brother Jack and Matty. Sister Hope's father, who died suddenly yesterday. His birthday was today. He would have been 70. The church in Kenya was started out of his home in the 1960s. Currently, Brother Kim Waitland, or I believe that's Waitland or something like that is his last name, has 6,000 members. So a home church that started in the 60s, you see what the Lord has brought it to. So we just praise God for that and pray for that family during this time, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Brother Terry Horn offers his testimony tonight. I've waited for one complete year to give this testimony. For 2 or 3 years, Sister Alice, after a trip, would get fatigued, would get severe chills, some fever, and sick for a couple of days. We had a prayer cloth that Brother Branham prayed over. On last December, a year ago, I asked Brother Donnie to wear it. I took it home and laid it on Sister Alice, prayed a simple prayer with faith. She has never had another episode of chills at all since. Praise be unto the Lord. So thank God for that tonight. Praise the Lord. Deanna Maya sends this in to please pray for Pat Sumner. She is a very special person to me and so many others. She is like my second mom. She is in the hospital with her heart only working at 10%. I know the Lord can heal her if it's His will. She has touched so many lives with her love and kindness. Thank you so much for your prayers for her. So let's remember that need tonight. And then Sarah Townsend sends this in to please remember us in prayer for Tuesday, January the 12th. We're going to court for my little 7-year-old twin cousins. They came out of a very bad environment, and their dad is trying to get them back. This would be very bad for both of them. Please pray that God will block him from being around them at all. Thank you all so much for your prayers. Our God is good all the time. God bless. I will be sending you all a testimony. So we just pray that the hand of the Lord would intervene in that situation for those children. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know God is able to meet your need tonight? You believe it with all your heart. Somebody say, it ain't nothing but the truth. He is more than able. Do you believe it tonight? Could we stand? Brother Terry, why don't you just come tonight? Take us to the Lord on behalf of these requests. We'll just commit all these things unto the Lord as we get ready to pray tonight. God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Love you, buddy. Thank you, Jesus. It's so good to be back in church tonight. If you don't mind, I'm going to give you just a little bit of something that it might encourage you. I did the math one time. You know, Brother Ben said one time, he said, well, you know, that when we get into the wedding supper, that table will be 1,000 miles long. Have you ever wondered how many people will be there? So I figured up 1,000 miles, take 5,280 feet per mile, and I gave them a spacious 5 feet. I don't know how big the chairs would be, but I gave 5 feet per chair. That'll give you 1,056 chairs, that figure to, and you, of course, you multiply that times that, you got 1,046,000 chairs. And Brother Man said, of course, we will shake hands with people on the other side of the table. So you multiply that by two. So you now have 2,092,000 chairs. I've got one of them. That's going to be quite a time. 2,092,000 chairs at the wedding supper for 1,000 miles long. You say, why are you excited? Well, that's one reason. I love my brothers and sisters in Christ. What a time it will be when we get over there. What an exciting time that God has prepared for us. Oh, we just love Him so much. Let's thank Him as we go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, how thankful we are. What promises You've given us, Lord. Not only what the wedding supper will be, to be with You in the millennium, to be able to live in the new city, to reign with You for eternity, but the life that You've given on this side of eternity. Lord, it's a joy to live a Christian life on this side. What little persecution and suffering we've had to go through, at least that this far, Lord, because it's not a bondage to us. It's a pleasure to be able to suffer the reproach for the cause of Christ. No bondage to us. It's wonderful because this is our love. It's our life. Brother Louis said it's our passion, our desire, our whole love in our life is to go to church and love You and love one another and love the brethren and study the message and search the message and listen to tapes and pray for one another and live a life worthy of the gospel. What a wonderful thing You've given to us in this time. We're just so happy for it. The ministry that we're under, the different brothers around the country that preach this gospel, the new ministers that You're raising up recently. Lord, I think about how Brother Andrew Glover, what a tremendous job he's doing. Just precious young men of God taking this message on to the rapture. How we love them and appreciate them so much. We pray, Lord, for these requests has been given, several sicknesses. Brother Baker, two or three requests for him and the different ones. We know You're never present help in a time of trouble. And You said, only thing You ask us to do, the prophet said, can we appropriate that faith? And if we believe that You'll give to us the desire of our heart. Everyone that had a raised hand, something upon their heart, perhaps an unsaved loved one, somebody outside the ark of safety. We know, Lord Jesus, You just said for us to hold on to that faith, like the Philippian jailer, You and Your household will be saved. So we have that promise, and our children is our inheritance. We hang on to that promise. So we know, Lord, You will bring them in. Lord, everyone tonight that maybe is not feeling well in their body, when Brother Williams preaches the message, Lord, as the word goes forth, may we just receive from the hand of God. By faith we accept it. If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, just ask what you will, shall be done. You promised it. It's already been paid for. We receive it, and that settles it. Thank You for it, Lord. We give You praise tonight that we have opportunity to be in church. Heal each one that's been spoken of. We'll expect testimonies out of it because we know there's faith in the building to believe it. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Terry. God bless you. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here with us tonight in the service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. We're going to have a couple of songs tonight. Brother Fred Perry is visiting from over at Brother Tim Farmer's Assembly. Also, Brother Delario, they come up here with Brother Burley. I believe he's here with Brother Burley Williams. He has a song for us tonight. So if those brothers will come onto the platform and be getting ready to sing. Before they do, let's sing a song tonight. How many of you know there's still power in the name of Jesus? The greatest name that's ever been uttered by mankind is the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. There's still power. Break every chain. Break every God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated. I want to make one more announcement. There was just a little bit of questions that some of you had asked about the announcement I made Wednesday night. I'll mention it one more time tonight. Free online college courses that you can take. They are transferable. Any school that you choose to go to, they are transferable. And that was, I think, a major question over in the library. They are transferable to any school, brother. Brother Blair is going to be here in the morning, and he'll probably just meet with you over in the fellowship hall, answer any of your questions. And the best part about it, you can take them right from home. They're free of charge, and they are transferable. So just let you know that. As our brothers get ready to sing tonight, it don't matter which one of you goes first. We're looking forward to hearing both of you. Just come on, brother. From Brother Farmer's Church. This is what's his name? Brother Larry. Brother Perry, we're glad to have you, Brother Larry Perry. God bless you, buddy. We're glad to have you, buddy. God bless you. Just sing right there. Praise the Lord.
Well, thank the Lord for all he's done for me. It's a brand new song I wrote just here for Christmas time, so I hope you enjoy it. I just want to let you know that 2 years ago, I was on disability, taking 22 pills a day. But today, I'm off disability. I haven't taken a pill over in 6 months. Haven't even seen a doctor in 6 months. So I just want to let you know he's the same today, yesterday, and forever. And who do you love? I love the virgin-born king, and that's who I'm going to sing about tonight, the virgin-born king. In the city of David, a virgin hath conceived. For joy and peace have come to thee from the land of Bethlehem. Holy Christ is born our King. Holy, oh, that is why we sing. Holy, holy, holy is that virgin born King. Now the wise men came from a land afar, for they followed the shining of his star. Now gifts they did bring to be one with their king, of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Holy Christ is born our King. Holy, oh, that is why we sing. Holy, holy, holy is that virgin-born King. Now the Lamb of God has come into the world to be a sacrifice. For the bread of life has come to fill the house of God with bread. Holy Christ is born, our King. Holy, oh, that is why we sing. Holy, holy, holy is a virgin born King.
God bless y'all. It's good to see y'all. It's been a long time since we've been here. And I'm just glad to be here. And I'm going to try to sing this little song that we sing back home at church. I love it so much. It's called In Your Presence. And if it's just a short song, so if y'all can get it, y'all can just help me sing it. Amen. Lord, I lay my heart before your throne. And Lord, I bow my knees to you alone. Even though I know I'm guilty, but you forgive my sins. And you cleanse me with your blood, so that I may enter in to your presence. Is where I long to be, in your presence, through all eternity. Even though I know I'm guilty, but you forgive my sins, and you cleanse me with your blood, so that I may enter in to your presence. Lord, I lay my heart before your throne. And Lord, I bow my knees to you alone. Amen. And even though I know I'm guilty, but you forgive all my sins, and you cleanse me with your blood, so that I may enter in to your presence. Is where sins, and you cleanse me with your blood, so that I may enter in to your presence, to your presence.
What an honor that is to come into the presence of a king. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. To think at one time that we were counted aliens and strangers and just the awfulest bunch of people ever was. And God, by His grace, has personally invited us into His own presence. To be invited by a viceroy or invited by a governor or be invited by some person of position into the presence of a great person would be something. But to be invited by the greatest person that's ever been. And you're invited by Himself. I hope we never take that for granted. I hope we never come to a spot where we're, well, so what, so what? God saved me. God give me the opportunity to be saved, come into His presence. What? God Himself, God Almighty, gave you the privilege to come into His presence and wanted it so much that He become your sin that you might become His righteousness. Amen. Praise God. Let's open our hearts tonight to see what the Lord's got to speak to us. And become the need in your life, many needs in your life, I'm sure. We know the Lord is the only one who can custom fit a sermon that will be able to fit absolutely every hungry heart that is here. But we know He specializes in that, don't He? Let's sing together, touching Jesus. As our Brother Burley comes, we'll just invite Him to the pulpit now and just come and obey the Lord. Oh, woman, tried so many physicians, yet grew worse, sold to Jesus. She came, and when the crowd tried to restrain her, she whispered these words through her pain. Everybody now, touching Jesus is all that really matters.
To share the word of the Lord with you, and we bring you greetings from the church back home, Peniel Tabernacle, and two of the brothers with me, Brother Joseph, the deacon, and Brother Delario. Good to have them with us. So appreciate them driving up with me. Amen. And just honored to be able to be here. Appreciate Brother Dunn allowing us to minister to you tonight. But if you don't mind, we'll just get on into the word. I'm not too good with long preliminaries. I just like to get on in it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we want to go to verse 23. It's a very strong scripture. Usually when people read it, they get real quiet. But it's still scripture. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Verse 23 said, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembrance that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar. Go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank You for the reading of Your word. And I just pray that you just come, Lord, in a special way. Deal with our hearts, oh God. Because the time that we're living in, oh Father, we need to understand what's going on in our own lives and our own hearts. And look into scriptures, seeing that how we're supposed to approach you. We can't approach you any kind of way that we want to. But God, you have a way for us to approach you. And oh God, may we look into some of these things tonight that we can even just see ourselves in the scriptures. Will you help us tonight, Father? I'm just really asking you for strength and just help me. I ask in your precious name. And the church says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I also want to go to Leviticus chapter 21. Are you happy tonight?
Praise the Lord.
I want to minister to you tonight, and I hope you don't let your thoughts run ahead of the sermon. You just wait and just listen as the scripture speak for itself. You know, sometimes a minister give a title. Sometimes people let their mind start running way ahead of the title and trying to figure out which way he's going. Don't do that. Praise the Lord. You just wait and just see what the Lord is going to do. Amen. I want to preach tonight the disqualification of a priest. See, now your mind might start running now. He's going to talk about marriage and divorce and where a minister can't preach and a minister can't. That's probably where your mind already doing. But that's totally opposite where I'm trying to go. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
So I'd rather for the scriptures just to speak for themselves. Amen. You know, I'll be honest with you, brothers and sisters. We was in a minister's meeting and a question was asked, where is the bride now? And what is the bride is doing now? That was the question that was asked. Because there's so much stuff going around, so much questions, and people backsliding and doing all kinds of things now. But you know what? The bride is still the bride. That's just the bottom line. And you know, the Lord helped me with some scripture. If you go into, I preach these things back at my own church. If you go into John chapter 13, when I think verse 26, somewhere around in there, when Jesus told Judas, go do what thou do quickly. He said, go on and do it. Can we say amen?
Amen?
Now, you know, Judas did not return back to John 18. Can we say praise the Lord? So if you look and see in the scriptures, when Judas was gone, listen to Jesus' language. When Judas was gone, Jesus was speaking to the elect of that day. But Judas had to leave the scene first. Then he came back. But if you look into the scripture, what did Jesus do when Judas was gone? It'll show you where you and I at today. Jesus, when Judas was gone, Jesus preached to them the future home. Jesus preached to them things that ought to be. Can we say amen? Jesus preached to them the comforter. He couldn't have preached that when Judas was there. Jesus said, I go prepare a place for you. He couldn't preach that when Judas was there. Because he wasn't preparing a place for Judas. His language was talking directly to his elect. And I'm going to tell you, that's where the bride is at today. She's not interested in all of the stuff that's going on. What she's interested, how much more can I be like him? How much closer can I be with him? That's what's interested to the bride of Jesus Christ. I hear the message and the anointed ones in the end time. It don't affect me like Christ or the mystery of God revealed would affect me. Can we say praise the Lord? Because I understand the anointed ones in the end time. I understand all those things. But I'm interested not staying here. I'm interested getting out of here. Can we say amen? I'm interested in hearing the still small voice of God in the midst of all of this nonsense that's going on. I just want to hear that voice. All these other things is nothing but a bunch of distractions is what it is. But not to the bride of Jesus Christ. She knows who she is. Praise the Lord. Got a little excited quick, but by the way, my name is Brother Burley Williams. God bless you. For those don't know me, I'm just Burley Williams. Amen. And you have to forgive my language and my slang. I'm just old boy. So some of my language you might not understand it, but I'll try to explain it. You know, I want to learn how to speak Spanish. I said, man.
I need to finish English class first. Try to do some Spanish. That ain't going to work for me, but praise the Lord. Amen. You know, I just want you to know I love God. I do. And friends, I'm just going to be honest. I might say something might offend you, but I don't want to offend you. I might say something to make you laugh, but I'm not a comedian. I'm serious with what I preach. But I got to preach it the way God built me to preach. I'm not going to preach like Brother Donnie. I'm not going to try to preach like no other preacher. I'm going to be just the way God made me. I don't believe it's an impersonation ministry stuff. I don't believe in that. A person need to be exactly the way God designed them. God will bless them. Can you say praise the Lord? All this impersonating stuff, trying to carry your Bible, trying to jump like Brother Donnie and all that. Brother Donnie, that ain't going to do us no good. I'm sorry, that don't work, friends. Be yourself. That's what you need to do. Just be yourself. Can we say praise the Lord? And I'm gonna tell you, if you sitting in church and you ain't jumping and saying amen, but if you say amen in your soul, that's good enough. Cause you see somebody else jump up, amen. Don't let that intimidate you. You say amen, you worship the God the way God made you. Can we say amen? Cause sometimes people get intimidated cause somebody else is shouting. Then they try to get up and try to shout and it don't sound right. Because you're trying to act like somebody else. Just be yourself. I'm going to be myself. You be yourself. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead to Leviticus chapter 21. And we'll read a few verses here. Let's go to verse 16. I really want you to listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed in their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach a blind man or lame or he that has a flat nose. Or anything superfluous. Or a man that is broken footed. A broken handed. A crook back. Or a dwarf. Or he hath a blemish in his eye. Or be scurvy. Or scab. Or have his stones broken. Verse 21. No man that has a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord. Made by fire. He has a blemish. He shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go in unto the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar, because he has a blemish, that he profane not my sanctuaries, for I, the Lord, do sanctify them. Amen. Now, that's a very, very interesting scripture, isn't it? And we want to just maybe talk about that for a moment. But before I can really get into what I want to get into, I just kind of want to build a little platform by the help of the Lord. Amen. Now, I want to read you, I want to read a quote here. How many of you believe that the bride has a ministry? Amen. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that God got something for every one of us to do. Is that right? But you know, I believe this too, brothers and sisters. I believe that when God is dealing down in our hearts, and we want to make sure what we're saying, what we're doing is matching the experience that is in our heart. I think that's very, very, very important because you're finding people falling from the message, pretty much daily now. Can we say amen? Just falling away. But you know what, friends? People get a little hurt about that and offended about that, and some even make statements, am I next? I will never say, am I next? I just say, by the grace of God, that won't be me. Because I'm trusting in Him to keep me, not me to keep myself. And I want you to be honest, I'm pretty sure you got some people, they screen your website a lot, and I'm probably gonna get some emails and stuff from the things that I'm gonna say. But I'm just gonna be honest, the people that just fell from the message, they never got the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you to not some truth. It's going to lead you to all truth. Can we say amen? All these backsliders and all the kind of stuff they done, they probably lived years living a sanctified life, but never got sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, I ask anybody, they can make any excuse why they left the message. But you know what I ask them? My question would be to them, what are you doing now that you would not do when you was in the message? Then I'll show you why you left the message. Because some people feel the message is nothing but constraints and commandments and I can't do this and I can't go here and I can't wear that. That's why they backslide. That ain't what the message is about. The message is a love affair. The message is Christ and his bride having a love affair together. We love serving God. We love coming to church. The commandments of God are not grievous. We enjoy worshiping God. Ain't nobody got to make me do nothing. I do it because I want to, because I love him. But when people look at coming to church, it's a grudge and pressure. They need a experience with God. The Holy Ghost loves church. The Holy Ghost loves the message. The Holy Ghost loves to read. So if you're even sitting here tonight with doubts in your mind, wondering if this message is right, you better rebuke that spirit. Because you keep wondering, guess what? You're going to be one of them. Hello? Man, I ain't even got preaching yet. Praise the Lord. You know, I want to read some things to you that the prophet of God said. It's in the revelation, it's in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And I want to build something. Just really listen to this. He says right here, he hath made us. I tell you what, let's go to Revelation chapter 1, 4 first. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, verse 1, it said, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before the throne. You know, that right there is a powerful scripture within itself. Where is peace coming from? Listen to what it says right here in the scripture. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you, peace. Peace. From him which is, which was, which is to come. So peace comes from Jesus Christ. But what else did he add to? And from the seven spirits, which are before the throne. So God said, my peace is being sent through the earth. Through the seven messengers that come through the earth, I'm giving you my peace. Can we say praise the Lord? Hey. By the way, that's not a quote. That's from the Bible. Praise the Lord. Because you know it don't got to a place now, especially in the young generation, you say something to them, they'll say, did Brother Branham say that or did the Bible say it? You see, that's how bad it don't got with confusion. I just say both said it. Praise the Lord. I sure hope I ain't ruffling no feathers tonight. Praise the Lord. Verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice, he said, he has made us kings and priests. We didn't make ourselves that. He made us that. Can we say praise the Lord? Now, watch this quote in the revelation of Jesus Christ. He hath made us. Oh, there are certain truths we need to emphasize. This is one of them. He hath made us. Salvation is his doing. Salvation is of the Lord, all of grace. Notice, he redeemed us for a purpose. He bought us for a purpose. Now, he said, we are kings, spiritual kings, all, we're going to be kings upon the earth with him when he sits on his throne. But listen to what he said. But now, I'm talking about now, but now we are spiritual kings, oh my, and we reign over a spiritual kingdom. We reign over a spiritual kingdom. Mom, I just really love this. Then he began to quote Romans 5:17. He said, for by one man offense, death reigned by one. Much more than which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign life by one. Jesus Christ, Colossians 1:13, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom. Then he said, ring up his dear son. Right now we ring with Christ. Listen, having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Now, he ain't say nowhere in this quote what that has a dominion over me. He said we, kings and priests, have dominion over that. You know what? I'll be honest with you, friends. Sometimes people say, I'm struggling. I'm battling this. I'm struggling. I say, oh yeah? I said, the reason why you're struggling, what you're struggling with, because you lost the battle in the mind. Because when you lose a battle in your mind, greatest battle ever fought was in the mind. When you lose it here, you express it here. Can we say amen? That's why we got to deal with spiritual issues. Overcome these things. Overcome these battles while they're in the mind. And you can only overcome it by the word of God. Not by our own self. We cannot do it. Praise the Lord. I want to read that one again. Having dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Showing forth his praise and glory. Showing forth himself. For it is Christ in us. Willing and doing of his good pleasure. Yes, indeed. Even now we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to watch this now. This is beautiful. He made us priests. Yes, priests unto him. Now, Brother Branham gonna break it down what priest means. Even what kings mean. Not the way we would think it would be, but he gonna give it right here in this quote, what it means and what we're supposed to be doing. Listen to what he says. Made us kings. I'm sorry. Made us priests. Yes, priests unto him. Offering the spiritual praise of sanctified lips. Spending our lives on Facebook. Oh yeah, I did say that wrong. To Facebook. Spending our lives as a sweet offering unto him. Worshiping him in spirit and truth. Now, this is what really got me. He says, interceding and petitioning. Priests and kings are to our God. No wonder the world does not appeal to us. And we are peculiar people, zealous unto good works. We have been recreated in him to be children like unto our Father. Amen. Listen to this definition. Interceding and petitioning. Whew. Interceding means this. The acts are interposed in behalf of someone in difficulty or trouble. Petitioning means make a solemn or humble appeal. According to this definition, kings and priests, that's what we're supposed to be doing. I don't know about you, friend, but it just makes me feel that right down here. God telling us our office, what we're supposed to be doing in that office. Let's go a little bit further now. In the message, Messiah. You see what Messiah is? Messiah is the kingdom of God. Anointed ones. them anointed with the same spirit he was anointed with. Can we say praise the Lord? How many of y'all know what the anointing is though? But we say, oh, I'm anointed with the Holy Ghost. Man, I can run and jump over some pews. And when someone ain't anointed, they fall on the pews. We say, oh, I'm shouting, I'm jumping. Oh, that's the anointing. I just, before I finish that quote, let me read this one. Y'all do like quotes, don't you? That's good. The message, why are people so tossed about? The anointing is not emotions. The anointing is supreme power in control. Like knowing, listen now, like knowing exactly what and how. And that's what's here. So when we are anointed, we're actually under supreme control. And we'll know what to do, when to do it, how to do it. That's when we are anointed. Oh, my. Supreme power in control. And people want control, but they don't want the right kind of power and character. Can we say praise the Lord? How many of you believe Joshua was anointed? Joshua was anointed. That's why sun stay here, moon stay here. He was under control. He didn't have to pray, ask nobody. He told it what to do because he was anointed. I'm building you a picture. That's what he say you are, and that's what he say I am. Kings and priests. Listen to what he says here. So if he was called Messiah, which he was, but he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And any church that is anointed with the same Holy Spirit is a Messiahette. A littler, smaller God. And someday when this body is resurrected, I hope beforehand that God can get a hold of a bunch of people that will manifest his power in every dimension that it's supposed to be in. Oh, I love that. Messiah, anointed one. Now watch how he give the definition of a king and a priest. A king to deliver. He said, you're kings and priests. He said, kings to bring in, priests to minister to. A Messiah. Amen. So he giving a definition of a king and a priest, what they're supposed to do. When you're testifying, witnessing to somebody out on the streets and so forth, you're actually in a king position to try to bring people in. But when you get them into the church, you come into the priest ministry, working with them now to get them where they need to get to. So we're kings and priests. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what we are. Kings and priests. Now, he said, now you don't have to die to get this. You got to spiritually die. But you don't have to physically die. The inside is where God gets in to control you. He presses himself forward in you. Now listen, don't let any root of bitterness, hatred, malice, strife, that'll run him right back again. Just get all of the meanness, all of the superstition, all of the unbelief out of you. And every time you move out a little of unbelief, God steps right in and takes over. See, now he told us we're kings and priests, but now look how quickly he starts dropping. No bitterness. No malice. He dropped it right in. Other words, let you know, if that's there, you cannot fulfill these things the way God wanted to be fulfilled. Amen. Kings and priests. Amen. You know, say, oh, that's what I am. I'm a king. I'm a priest. Come on, devil. That's what I am. Come on. No. You might as well get ready for a good old swing from the devil. Just because of the way you're acting. But when we can humble ourselves, He had made us. This is what God looks at me. Call me in this age to make me a king and a priest. That'll make you humble yourself. Now let's go back to Leviticus 21. You know, in this scripture, Leviticus 21, now I want to explain something very clearly. I know we're not on an Aaronic priesthood. I know that. So just in case somebody says, I know that very perfectly. But I will tell you this. When you look into the scripture of the priesthoods, you're looking at types and shadows. We cannot take physically here in scripture what disqualified them from being a priest and apply it to a minister or either the priest us today. We cannot do that. Can we say amen? But you can take what disqualified them, and if you find the spiritual meaning of what it is, then you apply it to us. Can we say praise the Lord? Now let's just talk about this a moment. Have you ever noticed when we was reading the scripture, what did it disqualify them from? It's what should be sticking out bigger than all of it. Not so much the blemishes and the disqualification, but what did He disqualify them from? All right. Now let's just look at this. Go right down with me to verse 21. Start at verse 17 first. Speaking to Aaron, saying, whosoever be of thy seed in their generation that has any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. Notice now, it's showing you the disqualification here. He said, let him not approach to offer. Is that right? So if he got a blemish, he can't offer. Let him not approach. Can we say amen? Now, jump down to verse 21. No man that has this blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He has a blemish. Listen, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Now watch verse 22. He shall eat the bread of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go into the veil, nor come nigh unto the altar. So, what is the disqualification? God, even though he got a blemish, he do not stop them from eating. They can eat the most holy things and the holy thing. Eat, eat, eat. But when it comes to offering, he said, you can't do it because there's a blemish. Now, what about you and me, friends? God don't stop us from coming to church. He don't stop us from eating. He don't stop us from saying amen in the church. Oh, glory to God. But when it comes time to offer something, is there something in our life we'll stop that? I got to get a sip of Gatorade. You see, sometimes I wonder, do we get to a place in our lives to where we think we can do whatever we want to do and God is going to accept it because that's what we want to do? I find that a lot of you, not just lefty preachers. How many of you know we got a lot of Catholic priests in the message? Oh yeah. People come and tell the pastor the problem. Pastor, okay. And he knows the word to show them how to go take care of the problem. But he would rather say, don't worry about that. You already talked to me about it. No. No, sir. It ain't the fact you talk to him about it. You do that in confession booths. Go ahead, my son, your sins are forgiven. That ain't the message, brothers and sisters. No, sir. You gotta find out what you did and find out in the word how you deal with it and handle it. Until then, there's no blood gonna cover it. Zachariah. Well, that's okay. I talked to the pastor and it's okay. He said it's okay. But did he say it was okay? And if he says it's going to be okay, it's going to come straight through the message. Can we say amen? Let me tell you something, friends. Some might get mad. I'm not saying you, but you know, you got people out there. I don't understand why they do it. They don't left the message, but why they keep going on message church website and listening to the preacher? Why they do that? I mean, just go on. Just go on. I don't know. I don't get that one, man. I really don't. But let me explain something to you, friends. You got to filter everything through the message. Can we say praise the Lord? Somebody say, well, man, I disagree with that. I said, well, they said, you know, well, give me some scripture in the Bible. Some of them tell you give them scripture in the Bible. They don't even believe the Bible. They're just trying to challenge you to see if you can do it. And I can do it. Let me ask you a question. When the children of Israel had the ark in their presence, they had victories, didn't they? And the ark types the word. Can we say amen? You remember in the days of Samuel, when Samuel came on the scene as a prophet, and when he come into maturity, that now he can understand and hear the voice of God, you know what happened? The children of Israel decided to go fight the Philistines. Is that right? You know, they went out and they lost, but they said, let's go get the ark. And we're going to fight them again. Now, they got the ark with types God's word, with types God, going out to war. Man, they got that ark. Come on, guys. Let's do it. Let's get them. Let's get them. We got the word. We got the Bible. We got the Bible. Let's go get them. You know what happened to them, don't you? They got out there and they lost. Why did they lose? Because they didn't consult Samuel. Can we say amen? They didn't consult Samuel. That's why they lost. Now, oh, I left the message, but I got my Bible. I got my Bible. I got my Bible. I got my Bible. Let me tell you something, friend. You can have your Bible all you want to, but you cannot overcome Laodicea without the ministry of a prophet. Exactly right. People call me Brandon Mike. That's a kind of a privilege, you know. I'm pretty sure in Paul that they called them Paulites. John the Baptist-lites. I'm pretty sure. It ain't nothing different. Now watch this very carefully. It's blemishes put here that God won't go past. It's actually 12 of them. He said, and that'll disqualify that priest from offering but not eating. And I really looked at this many times years ago, and this kind of come back up on my heart the other day. I said, well, I'll preach it here by God's grace. I hope it's a blessing to you, but I hope you really just look down in there. I read in the beginning to show you what we're supposed to be. And I mean, it don't need no interpretation. That's very plain. But we can't just do what we want to do. God want to have his purpose and his will to be worked through us in our life of his desires. Not ours. He want to have preeminence in the bride of Jesus Christ. Can we say praise the Lord? That's what he wants. He don't want us doing what we want to do, using our own intellect. He wants us to have his mind. The mind of Christ. See, we're not being sensitive to a lot of things. We get ourselves in a lot of trouble and a lot of confusion and just a lot of pressure. We do it to ourselves. When we need to just relax and let God have his way in our life against our understanding. But let him have his way. Because I'm going to tell you, reasoning is a real bad spirit. Reasoning. Before I go to this, let me say something to you. How many of you ever been in church and the preacher preaching and it might start going down your avenue and then you get tensed? Anybody ever done that? I raised my hand. You know, you be like, you listening? You listening? And then all of a sudden, you go, yeah, that's right. Then you just loosen up. Let me tell you why you tensed. The reason why you tense, that's your flesh telling you that's not you. You're a good person. That ain't you. You ain't got that problem. And you say, that is right. I ain't got that kind of problem. But you, then all of a sudden, because you're a Christian, got the Holy Ghost, you let the word search. Then you agree with the word and say, that's me. Then you relax. Because you let the word show you your heart. That's right. Who in here knows your heart? Anybody in here know your heart? Don't raise your hand, please. Because according to Jeremiah 17, you actually don't. The heart is wicked, deceitful, and who can know it? Then it drops down verse 18, but the Lord that searches the rings of the heart. Can we say amen? What really lets you know what's in your heart is actually the word. That's why Hebrews tells us the word of God is quick, sharp, powerful, a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word is a discerner of what's in your heart. That's why when we look into our own heart, we look at it in by view of scripture. Because your own heart will tell you you're a good person. Ain't nothing wrong with you. Everybody in the church wrong but you. Oh yeah. But when you let the word, listen to the word, you be like, that's me. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. Thank you. You showed me in your word. Thank you. I'm not going to kick against it, Lord. Now, Lord, help me apply it. But if you walk out of church, that wasn't me, you're going to walk out stiff and still tense. But when you let the Holy Spirit just sweep over your life, you can be loose and walk out of church just giving him praise. Oh, we had service tonight. Thank you, Lord, for dealing with my heart. But them tense ones, I'm just being real with you, friend. This is serious. Anybody tense? Because if you tense now, you're really finna get tense. Let's talk about these blemishes. I might not get to all of them, but I'll quit at a good time. I don't want to keep you light tonight. But he says the blemishes. The first one he talks about, a blind man. Is he blind? He's disqualified. That's pretty easy. A blind man can't see. So that'll disqualify. Because the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Now, brothers and sisters, you are blind. If I am blind to some of our ways, we don't want to see them, but we blind ourselves to them. That can make a little disqualification there. Can we say amen? Oh, you remember the Pharisees? I'm so thankful I'm not like that sinner over there and just praying. He was a blind man. Because he was just in worse shape than the other guy was. He couldn't see himself. He seen himself as righteous and seen that man as a sinner. I wonder, do we do that sometimes? Somebody might do something. We say, they shouldn't have done that. That ain't right. Then when you do it, same thing. Well, the reason why I did that, you got to understand why I did it. Now, I can explain to you exactly why I did that. So why you couldn't get with the person that done that and give them some grace and say, why did you do that? Amen. But then it talks about the lame man. Ooh. If the man is lame, he's disqualified. Now I'm just going to name some characters and stuff and then we're going to go on. But we got to look here. Look right here. You know, I was pointing to my heart and a thought come to my mind. Some of the most sad things you see, not so much the people that are leaving the message. That's really not the sad thing to me. The sad thing is one that's still in the message, but living miserable lives. That's more sad to me. When we ought to be living victorious lives. In the message. Can't even put their own houses in order. Oh, people are pretty good putting other people's houses in order, but they can't put their own in order. Their professors are doing that. But let me tell you something, friends. Home life is important. Husband and wife relationship is important. It's a reflection of what your children see in you. Can we say amen? Let me tell you something, friends. And when I put my hand to my heart, you know, out of all of the places that God could have brought Eve from, he brought her from a rib. From a rib. Why couldn't he choose something else? I mean, maybe the brain, a piece of the brain or something, but the rib. And I begin to think about that thing. The rib, the rib, the rib. See, that's where the wife come from, the rib, amen. Because you know, a rib, sister, if God brought you from that part of a man, that means what ribs actually do, it protects all of the vital organs of the body. So now, sister, if God brought you from there, you are the one to protect your husband's heart. Hello? You are the one, when he comes home moody, just mind tore up from the jaw, you are the one to protect that. Protect his emotions. Protect his heart, his vital organ. Sister, that is your role. That's why a woman, she can make a man and she can break a man. Because in the Bible, whenever they want to kill a man quick, they hit him in the rib. The fifth one. That means they want to take him down quick. Can we say amen? So sister, you can do the same thing. Boy, they got real quiet, huh? It's still the truth. You know, I tell these young girls they want to get married. I said, okay, that's fine. But you can't get married. When you get married, I said, sister, when the man come home, time he walk in the door, I want to go shopping. I ain't shopped in a while. We need to do something. I want to go buy something. And the man all tired of the dragon, hardly dragging in the house. You talking about shopping and all this. Life ain't about all that. The man needs some comfort then when he come in the house. He been on the job fighting all these demons and stuff. You get him and massage him, do something to him. Relax him. Yeah. Relax him. It ain't all about I want, I need. Don't get married if you got that kind of selfish spirit on you. Don't even get married. Exactly right. And brother, you can't come in the house, just walk in the door. Me and the guys going hunting, be back in a little bit. I'm going fishing, be back in a little bit. That ain't gonna work. I know a marriage that has been destroyed because of hunting and fishing. Now marriage has been destroyed because of Facebook and video games. That wasn't in the notes, but it's still there. A lame man. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 26. What will a lame man represent in scripture? Proverbs 26. Brother, can I have at least about 20 more minutes? At least 20. I want the scripture to speak for themselves. As a preacher these days, you got to do that anyway. Is that your thought, or did it come from the Lord? No, it's come right from the scripture, so. Now, I want you to see it. Lame. Proverbs 26:6. He that sendeth a message, 26 and 6, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of a lame man are not equal. So is the parable in the mouth of fools. Lame in the Bible spiritually represents no balance. I got some more scriptures. Oh, let me, I tell you what, go to me to Deuteronomy 25. I just want to read this one. Deuteronomy 25, let's go to verse 13. Thou shalt not have in thy bag divers weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thy house divers measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. For all do such things and do unrighteously are an abomination unto the Lord thy God. It goes right back to no balance. Let's read it again. In thy bags, he said, thou shalt not have divers weights. That means different ones. Said you need to have one weight. And then it says, in thy house, thou shalt not have in thine house different measures, a great and a small. See, what this is going back is to Bible terminology. In Bible times, when they would go buy rice or beans or something, they used scales. So it was some crooks back in that day. What they would do when somebody made, you know, they use an ePod and they use a hen and they use all those kind of things. But let me just use our measurements. Somebody might want to get some rice and they want a pound of rice. So what they would do, they would put a weight right there that's a pound and they put the rice here. When it measures, balances, they know that that is a pound of rice. Can we say amen? But what they were doing in the Bible day, they might say, I want a pound of rice, but they might put a weight over there that's a pound and a half. So when the people, they put the weight lesser. They might say, I want a pound of rice. Somebody might use a weight that might say 3/4 of a pound. So what's going to happen when the balance thing scales up? They say they got a pound of rice, but they actually don't, but they pay the same price. So that's a cheap scale. It's not balanced. So that's why you or me can't have different measurements and weights in this house. I cannot use a weight for this family and that family and that family. And every time it changed, I put a different weight on it. No, you judge everything by the word of God, not by imagination. You go right into the word. That's how you judge it. Oh, that preacher made a mistake. He's my friend. Let me put a grace weight. Oh, that preacher, he made the same mistake. I don't know him. Let me put a judgment weight. A lame man is unbalanced. Oh, your little junior, do something. Church, pray for Junior. He's a good boy. Would you pray for him? Then somebody else, little junior, do the same thing. You just slide that weight and put another one. It's the parents' fault. They need to do something to that boy. That's what they need to do. It's the parent. They ain't raising him right anyway. That's why he's such a little nuisance. It's the parents. But, Lord, I want to thank you today. I want to offer some praise to you and some prayer. Really. Nothing but the truth. That's why the Catholic Church is going to get it. Because she got a false balance under the seals. A measure of wheat for a penny. That's why God despises unbalancing. It's a Catholic spirit. We judge everything by the word. Whatever the word says, I can't alter it. It is what it is. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not a legalist. Sometimes somebody can do the same thing, exact same thing, two different people. And I'm not a legalist. But what you can do, when you talk to one, you talk to this one, you might find one really didn't mean to do it. But one of them just didn't care what he did.
That's right.
Now you deal with them separately, but the same principle.
Yeah.
But you deal separately.
Oh, yeah.
The one that didn't mean to do it, you can actually show more grace.
Yeah.
But the one that don't care and been in the message 30 years, that's the one you just got to pull that old sword out. But if it's just a babe, you work with them. You work with them and you work with them. Because too much is given, much is required. I can't finish this. There's no way. But let me get to this one. The flat nose. If you got a flat nose, he disqualified from offering. Could you just imagine back in the day? Because, you know, to a priest, that wasn't his one of his highest ambitions in life, to have a son. Because when a son is born in the priesthood, he automatically falls into it. So when that father has a son, well, I'm just checking out the one looking at you, Brother Donnie, to see what you're going to say. You do read your own Bible, don't you? Do you have a revelation? Or do you got Donnie revelation? My. I mean, some just looking at you, but Donnie nods his head, then they go. And Donnie goes, they go. All right. Seriously. I honestly believe that'll hurt your pastor. If he can't see you say amen because you got an amen.
Amen.
This father, wife pregnant, get ready to have the baby. Greatest part of his life. He's smiling. Yes. 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 He just said, oh, come on, boy. Come on. He just doing like this. And when that little boy come out, they go to the head. He said, yes, yes. He's coming out, coming out, coming out, coming out. Nose just flushed in. He go, oh, man. Because he knows he's a male, but he disqualified. Ain't nothing he can do. But what would that represent? If you study them things in the Bible about flat nose, it's some horrible situations they had back then. When the nose is flat, what it actually do, it clogs up the tracks of breathing. It's equivalent to when you got a real bad sinus. When you got a real bad sinus, you can eat the food, but you can't taste it. If I was to blind you and give you food and your sinuses is messed up, you won't be able to discern what you're eating. Flat nose represents spiritually discernment. Can't discern what good and evil actually is. The prophet God told us this. We always quote that quote. We will be an invincible army. When the bride recognizes who she is, she's an invincible army. We're an invincible army. But read all of it. He said, when she's able to discern and withstand the two spirits in the framework of the Christian church. And let me tell you something, friend. I never seen twins coming from two different wombs. Twins come out of the same womb. Can we say amen? Where's our discernment? I'm going to be honest with you. When I first come into the message, friend, all you had to do is say you believe the message. I said, that's an eagle. That's an eagle. That's an eagle. But I found out it wasn't an eagle. It was a bird with eagle feathers. And an eagle beak. But now it's totally different for me now. Where is our discernment? All righty. Let's just use a scripture. If you will. I just really love this. Turn me to what scripture I want. Turn me to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, we want to go to verse 12. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, mature. Listen, what makes them mature? Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. If you notice, it said their senses was exercised. That means they went through a lot of things. They thought that discernment was a little accurate, but since they've been making up, I thought there was an eagle. Oh, that's about, now they got exercised. Now they more stern. They just don't take something quick. They just listen to it. Let me filter that through the word. No. But now, that's a good sister. That's a good brother. They okay. They fine. Talk to them a little bit. And let the word do the discernment. See these things right here, because you remember the book of Isaiah said there's going to come a time where people are going to call good evil and evil good. We are living in that time. But if you got a thinking man filter, you filter everything through the word. I'm going to read a scripture to you, friends. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I ran into this a lot. You got some people love to correct other people. But when they get corrected, they just can't seem to take it. But let's judge ourselves in the scripture. What give us the right to even correct something? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So many people want to revenge all disobedience when they themselves is not obedient. We've got to come obedient to the word of God ourselves. Then that actually give you power to go against disobedience. Because there's no condemnation in your heart. Because if there's condemnation there, you got no confidence in God. Let me read a blemish. Let me read you a blemish in the prophet of God. One thing I like about Brother Branham, he's an honest man. Now listen to what he says. This is the message of total deliverance. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21 said, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence in God. But if our heart condemn us, how can we have confidence in God? We know as long as we got sin that's not confessed, he'll never hear us. But I'm a special case, though. You know, God knows my heart. He said the church needs these things. Watch. I started to pray for this baby. And when I started to lay my hands on it, the Lord rebuked me and said, you told a lie and you ain't fit to pray for that baby. In other words, even though you are a prophet and I got the gift of healing in your ministry and all of that, you can't even offer that service. Not because of me, but because of you. I want to use you. I want that. I put that in you. But you're stopping me from using it because of you. I turned away from the man. I said, sir, you just wait here. I got something to make right. Humanly thinking, we would not have called that a lie just because he stepped out the door and said, I ain't in here. Humanly thinks, oh, ain't nothing wrong with that. Oh, man, come on, man. Good. That ain't the way God looked at it. God said, lie. Now compare some of the things that we do, compare it to that and see if it's a lie or not. I know you're thinking, but there is a bright side to the story. But I want you to see this side first to show how important it is for us to not to be walking around with hearts that's condemned. We should walk around with our hearts free. And when we smile, it's free. I see a lot of people smile sometimes, but you know the smile is not in their heart. You can only see it on their face. But it's not in the heart. That ain't the way it's supposed to be. It's not the way it's supposed to be, friends. See, that's what that flat nose is spiritually. Discernment. If our discernment is messed up, friend, we'll call the wrong things a lot of times. Just that's a sign of unstableness and immaturity. And we're supposed to be way up here. And I do believe that. But I think sometimes we might jump a little too higher and we ain't fix things down here. That's what makes us keep going up and down, up and down, up and down. Crook back. I'm going to go through this. I got scripture, but I'll just give you the definition. A crook back, that is a person that actually got a crooked spine. That is the type of person. I'll talk to Brother Donnie. Brother Donnie, we'll talk about a subject. You'll explain to it. Brother Donnie, I believe that. You're exactly right. Brother, you are right on the money. Then I go talk to another brother. He talked about something contrary to what he said. I say, brother, you're exactly right. You're right on the money. That's a crook back. They will agree with you while they're with you. But when they go somewhere else, and it's maybe a buddy or somebody closer that say, you are right. They'll call everybody right as long as they're around somebody with a benefit. It's a crook back. You know, in the scripture, when Paul rebuked that young girl with that demon in her, people got mad, man. Think about that. They got mad because the girl was delivered. They said, we can't get no more gains. She blessed us. With the evil spirit, she blessed us. Now the evil spirit is gone. We can't get nothing. When they should have been happy, the woman was delivered. I believe there's a lot of people in the message don't want some of their friends saved. Because they got certain benefits that you give. They give you. If they get saved, you can't get those benefits. You got some young people. They don't want their buddy saved. They just want to hang around them so they can get the movie, get the dirty magazine. They say, man, he gets saved. I can't get that through him no more. They don't care about the soul. Can we fight? Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. That was for you. I'm not tense. This is real, friends. This is real. And the other one is a dwarf. What a dwarf is a midget. A man could have had a son back there in that day. Come out, son, look perfect. What a boy. What a boy. My son. Oh, you're going to be in the priesthood. You get around 8, 30, 31, or 33, whatever the age. What a son. I'm proud of you, son. You know how in the house we, you know, some of us write on the wall with the little measuring sticks. Each year you put a little line and see how the child is growing. You want to see the growth. He puts a line. Another year go by, puts a line. Another year go by, puts a line. Then the other year he go like, something wrong here. You had that same line a year ago. Oh, maybe next year will be a little better. He come back next year and say, whoa, dude, you ain't growing. That's a dwarf. He's a midget. I hope nobody in Africa ain't listening to this, but if he is, I'm sorry. I was over in Africa, and a brother told me, he said, Brother Burley, we got you here, we're going to milk you. I said, milk me? What do you mean you're going to milk me? He said, we got to get everything we can out of you. I said, Brother, how long have you been in the message? He'd been in the message way longer than me. I said, Brother, you don't even need me here. Look how long you've been in the message. He said, yeah, I'm in the message, but I got to work and I got to do this and I got to do this. I can't do what I want to do and I can't run and do this. And I was just listening to him. I said, you dwarf. You a dwarf. A dwarf is a person that's stuck in one spot, ain't growing. Now, if the minister is a dwarf, and people in the church ain't got the Holy Ghost, watch just the way I worded it. They send out a ministry, they ain't got the Holy Ghost. If the preacher's a dwarf, you're going to have a church full of midgets. I made the statement is they got the Holy Ghost, because they got the Holy Ghost, if they see ain't nothing growing, they know they where more could get it. That's why I put it that way. Can we say amen? A spiritual dwarf is a person that don't want to move. And I hate to say it, they are first and second pool believers. I'm just being honest. Now, where are you in your life? Do you see growth? What is it? January 9th? How many of you don't grow these 9 days? New year. We got to look in our lives, friends, and see spiritual growth. And if it's not there, say, God, let me check. Why am I not growing? Oh, Donnie preached too hard. If he wasn't preaching so hard, I probably could grow. He bringing these evangelists in. They just running all over the place. If he wasn't dead, I probably could grow. Want to blame it on somebody else because they ain't growing. No, look at you. Somebody said, Brother Bill, I'm struggling. I said, yeah. I said, when last time you listened to a tape? Let's see. I think it was 3 months ago. Maybe four. Yeah, it was 4 months. So when last time you read the Bible besides bringing it to church? Well, and you ain't growing. That's why. Well, you know what? You cannot depend on a preacher to study for you, to seek God for you. That take you back up under the tabernacle of Moses, where the priest does everything. He sings, he goes in the presence all by himself, and everybody on the outside, I hope God accept the pastor. That's why when Jesus and the veil was broken, we can enter into the holiest of holies ourselves. And that's what you got to do. Know how to enter into there yourself. The ministry is here to help. We don't study and pray, give me something, give me something. Lord, if you don't want to give me nothing, bless your people. Please, God. I want something for myself. You know, Brother Brandon said that. He said, yeah, true, I did want something for myself. He said in Daniel 70 weeks. He said, but I want something for the people. That's the ministry. And you know how we get it? If the preacher comes with a rebuking sermon, just cuss somebody doing wrong. You control the ministry. Can we say praise the Lord? Then when the church start checking themselves, growing into maturity, you start hearing more and more maturity. You control the ministry by what you do, what you're doing. Praise the Lord. You might hear the preacher preaching on about house, something in the house. It might not even have nothing to do with your house, but it's somebody. You need to just be mature enough to say, praise God, we took care of that yesterday. I'm going to tell you something, friends. One thing I learned in Scripture. You know, there's a Scripture you can come to church and never get rebuked. There's a Scripture for that. Did y'all know that? Oh, yeah. He that is spiritual judges himself. If you judge yourself before you get here, you don't have to get rebuked. Well said. Scabbed. Let me just maybe five. You're a good audience. I feel the pull and I feel the tension. I feel both of them. I'm just being honest with you. I feel both of them. Scabbed. In the Bible, scab is a disease. Well, let me do scurvy. I'm just quoting the scripture we read in Leviticus 21. I got to do scurvy first. Scurvy is a disease in the Bible. And how people get it is because of a lack of vitamin C. Not because they don't have a lack of vitamin C, it turns to a scurvy in this body. How many of y'all know canned goods is a lack of vitamin C? There's not a lot of vitamin C in canned goods. So when they get that lack of vitamin C, it'll turn to scab, to where they'll start getting an itching disease and they're always scratching and itching and itching and itching. Those two go together. Can we say amen? That's why the Bible let us know, for the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having bleed sign. I mean, itching ears. And it's come because they got a lack of vitamin C. Let me tell you something, friend. Old messages are fine. Perfectly fine. Go back over and listen to them. But if that's all you can live off of, you don't want to move with the pillar of fire, what he's doing to this day. Can you say praise the Lord? If you just stop, but the pillar of fire keep moving, you're going to get an itching disease. We need to hear Dr. Dobson. Did y'all hear what Dr. Dobson preached? That was good. Oh, Joel Falstein. I mean, Olstein. That's not for the bride. It's not. Don't get me wrong. They might could say something that's okay. It's okay. But this philosophy, man? Psychology? I'm sorry. Only thing Joel's going to do is make you cry. You're going to be in church weeping. Don't even know why. Because you're caught up in emotion. We don't need that. Everything we need is in the message. Superfluous. Actually, superfluous means all of the above. That word superfluous means, I mean, it's pretty interesting. Superfluous actually means anything that's extra. You see, Goliath was superfluous. Six fingers, six toes. They had extra body parts. Can you say amen? So anybody that want to add to the message is superfluous. We don't need no extra revelation. We don't need no eighth angel. Can we say amen? They are trying to add. And God don't need nothing added to the body. Blemish in the eye. The thing about the man with the blemish in the eye, he's different from the blind man. Because the blind man just can't see. But the man that got the blemish in the eye, he can see, but his vision is distorted. Other words, he don't see clearly. Hello? This is the man, or woman. This is the man can look into the word and say, you're my wife. And the Bible said, you're supposed to submit to me in all things. Now, if you don't get in line, it's going to get tough in this house. You're going to make me really do something to you. You're going to be in submission. You hear me? Because I am the man of this house. That's what the Bible says. Now, you fall in line and submit. He got a distorted vision, man. But yeah, he can look right in there. Sister. Now, I know the Bible said woman's supposed to submit in all things. But let me tell you, girl, I got revelation. These men just can't treat us and push us around and do whatever they want to do. Girl, you need to stand your ground. That's what you need to do. Oh, I humble myself to him when I want to. When he buy me what I want, give me what I want, I will submit to him. That's bad. You can only submit to your husband, be sweet to him on birthdays and when he buy you a washing machine or a toaster or a blender and you something wrong. You operating on mechanical things. When it should be the love of God in your heart and knowing your place in Scripture. Sister, you don't realize the power you possess when you stay in your place, how God would get the man. When you simply stay in your place in the Word of God, and just submit to the Word of God, if your husband is out of order, God will get him. You know why? Because you're not fighting now. You let him do it. You'll watch God break that man down. I guess I better use myself. Let me just give you an example. One time I was mad at my wife. Yeah. I wanted her to know it. I was mad. Walking around the house, she say something to me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just want her to know I'm mad. Oh, you know how we do the silent treatment. Yeah. Go ahead. But you know what? She was happy. And she kept being happy. She said, you know, Burley, this and this and this. This, I said, mm-hmm. And you know, I said, I'm trying to show this girl I'm mad. And she's happy. I said, this ain't working. But because she stayed in her place, kept being happy, it broke that spirit off of me. She did. Took it right off of me. The silence has been broke under the seventh seal. So you don't have to try to use silence to break your home. Oh, I ain't saying nothing to him today. I cook his dinner late. Oh, I do something to get him back. That stuff is wrong. It's wrong. Can we say praise the Lord? And then man get a little spirit on this. I'm going to buy me something new. I work for this. That's right. Don't do this for me. Me. God gave you that family. You the supplier for that family. How would it be if Jesus Christ did you and me like that? Right. Only do stuff on us when he feels like it. He said, oh, they don't deserve it. He gave us his all. Amen. But look how we treat one another in household and situation like that. The way we treat one another, the thing we do, it only reflects where you're at. Whether we want to accept that or not, friend, it only reflects where your revelation is at. Can we say praise the Lord? It's nothing but the truth. I can give you incidents after incidents. I've seen the power of love, how it can break a lot of things. I even seen it happen in my own life, done to me and doing it to someone else. The real power of love. But that's why, friends, repentance is so important. We see these little things in our life. Instead of just letting it stay there and we know it's there and just say, well, God, you don't understand. No, we deal with it. So, Lord, I got this problem. I want to deal with it right now. You know, I was talking to a brother on the way up the road. I said, I think it's kind of bad if an emergency was to come up of a situation. You never know, somebody on the side of the road, wreck, that we'll have to go there when we pray for them. Before we pray for them, we got to pray for ourselves and get ourselves right. We ought to be able to just go right up to and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Instead of, oh, Lord, forgive me for this and give me for this. Lord, it's a long line, but let them live till I finish. Forgive me. We're supposed to be kings and priests. Musicians could come. Can we give him a hand? Give the Lord a hand. I say these things to you from the bottom of my heart because I know there's power when our heart is not condemned and when we humble ourselves. That's why I love Brother Branham Lyon. He just, if he wrong, he said it. Can you imagine this man saying that in front of tens and thousands of people? Because he wanted to be right. But today, people want to hold grudges. They want to hold attitudes that should not even be. That's why you go back to what I read in the beginning. If you know your brother have an ought against you, leave your gift right here. In other words, Jesus, I don't want it. He said, I want it, but not that way. Go make it right, then bring it back to me so we can have some sweet fellowship. And sometimes I think we feel like we're in some kind of sorority club. Because we've been in the message so long, we can get by with a little extra thing. No, we cannot. You got to remember something, brother and sister. A preacher in the pulpit is no different than a drunkard. They just got converted the day before in the sight of God. That's what the prophet said. No different. And that's why I believe with all of my heart, these little things right here, when we can just walk in that church, knowing our heart, it's just nothing grudges and stuff. It's just such the presence of God coming to our lives. Sometimes people fussing and arguing even on the way to church. Husband and wife. But then when they walk into church, we are standing on holy ground. And the children be like, I thought we were singing Battle Hymn of the Republic in the choir. Your children watch everything you do. You can give me a little girl around maybe 5 years old. All I need to do is give her a baby doll. She will act out what goes on in the house with that baby doll. Exactly right. Bad dolly. You know I'm not going to read you a story. No, go to bed. Shut up. She's just acting out what she see you do. And then we like, you know she didn't mean that, give me the doll. No, sir. She acted out exactly what she sees. And then we wonder what's wrong. Remember, you can eat. He ain't gonna stop you. You can jump shot. God said, go right on eat. But when it comes to them personal things in your life to offer, I'm just being real with you. I'm putting right at Brother Williams too. I'm not throwing nothing at you that I can't take myself. Just being honest with you. Can we bow our hearts? Is anyone here tonight, you just really know with our heads bowed, you know the Lord talking directly to you? Will you raise your hands? May God bless you for your honesty. Hands everywhere. I appreciate the honesty. I'll leave it to you. If you would like to come down for prayer, we can just pray together. I know it's a little late. If you'd like to come down for prayer, we would love to pray with you and pray together. If you got something special in your heart you need some attention to talk personally, I would advise you to talk to your pastor. Because God is here to set people free, not to keep you in bondage. I can promise you that. Friend, God loves us. That's why he don't want our hearts condemned. Simply because he loves us. While you can sit there and just think about it, flip your own heart over. Let the word start doing a screen through your heart and just say, wait a minute, let me look at this now. Let me think about this. Let me just listen to what was said. Because God, I want to be a real servant. I don't want to be fake. I want to be real. Could you play something softly, brother? Play that song softly, gently, Jesus calling. That song right there. Let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, oh God, this is just so simple, but we really look at it in a spiritual way. There's so much depth to it. Because God, you don't want your bride to be hypocrites. You want whatever we say out of our mouth is what's incompatible in our hearts and what is compatible in our lifestyle and our living. Not saying one thing, acting a different way. Lord, you don't want us to be that way. You want us to be true ministers, true sisters, and true brothers. That's what you want us to be. Oh God, is the scripture being fulfilled when you see the elderly sisters in such a place in their own life where they can teach the young how to love their husbands? Oh God, that's a challenge to even mother-in-laws. When a daughter get married and then the son-in-law treat the daughter wrong, what the mother-in-law going to do? Is she going to tell her daughter, I told you not to marry him anyway, you shouldn't have done it? Or is she going to fulfill the scripture and teach her how to love her husband? There's so many challenges in scripture, oh God, that we just overlook sometimes. But there's just the little things that you got laying there, Father, to just mold our character and showing us in scripture how you want our character to be. It's so easy, oh God, to want vengeance and want to pay back or say something back or do something back and give evil for evil. It's easy to get into those things in our flesh. But Lord, when we can keep the word before us, it'll humble us and it'll cause us to pray. Say, Lord God, forgive me even for that thought, because I know that thought is not of you. So Father, I know for certainly tonight, God, you spoke to hearts, because if you wouldn't even put the thought back upon my heart. I know it all for a purpose. And I believe, oh God, let testimonies come from this service, oh God, that God done surgery on my soul. God done some surgery in my heart to make me a better person. To take out the stones, to take out, like the prophet of God, we got to clean all the flues out. Anything that's blocking up that channel, we just need to go in and let the Holy Spirit just clean it out so that the Holy Spirit can flow freely in our lives. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We give you the praise and glory. We thank you for your presence. Bless your people, Father, as you've done in your word. Now you can see them off because you can go home with them. I can't, Lord. The pastor can't. But you can minister to them on their job and their homes. They can think about the things that have been spoken directly to their hearts. May you bless the one that's struggling in their mind, maybe have some doubts about things. Let them know that you're here. You're the dissolver of all doubts. They just need to commit it to you. Would you grant it, Father? Lord, I just ask these things as your servant. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And the church says, amen. Can I get somebody to sing that song? Praise the Lord.
Holy, oh sinner, come home.
May the Lord bless you. Anyone need prayer tonight?
Come home.
eyes and listen to the song. Just look into your heart. May the Lord bless you.
Watching for. Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cleanse us, Lord. Purify us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. Sing it together now. And say tonight before we close this service, the Lord Jesus spoke to your heart by His Word. Amen. I heard Brother Bam say it the other day after he had preached quite a lengthy sermon, and then he said, "And maybe you'd like to be remembered in prayer, you know, sometimes like we do here." And he said, "If God struck your heart right there in your seat, you can settle it right there in your seat." You know, some people have that ability, but others need to come and then their faith joined together with the minister. But the Spirit of God, I'm convinced, more times than not, meets us right there where He strikes us. And we're able to settle it. And I don't want this preacher man right here going home and thinking, because only a few people come up here, that he missed the mark. How many Happy Valley can say he was right on the mark? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I hope and pray to God that we never get to a place at our church that we cannot be corrected by God's Word. Don't you? I don't mind a preacher whooping me, but don't whip me and leave me hanging out dry. Okay? Make an altar call for me. Pour oil in my wounds. Don't you whoop the time out of me and leave me hanging. Don't pour salt in me. That's not God's prescription of a good physician. A good physician is, once you perform surgery, you know, administer a little bit of healing to you. I can take the whooping, but I do need the healing virtue. I pray to God we never get to that place. I'm going to tell you something. This brother can tell you he preaches all over the world. Others have been to different parts of the world. It's getting so in our own ranks that you can't even preach correction. They won't have you back. They will not have you back. They will shut down on you. I pray that God helps us, that we never get to such a place. That we can maintain the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ can always be corrected living in our bodies. Amen. Let's give the Lord a wonderful hand of praise. He's worthy. Come on now, don't be tense. Get loose now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you, Brother Barry. Thanks for coming by, buddy. Appreciate the brothers coming by, being with us, visit with us tonight. God bless you, brother. It's been a while since I've seen you. Good to see you again. Amen. Well, in the morning, I got to follow that now. Lord, have mercy. was hoping he wasn't going to have to cut out any of them blemishes. I was wanting to hear all them, wouldn't you? Praise God. Wonderful. Amen. God bless you, saints. Service in the morning, 11. Brother Bertie and our brothers will be going back home tonight after service, and got church tomorrow. So I want to pray for them that the Lord would just be with them. And I'd like to get them to come back and bring the whole church with them. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's sing a little bit of Victory Is Mine. Victory is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Oh, I told Satan.